Carnival World, Chapter 54. "I hope we see some cryptids, amigos, after lunch," offered Big Jay to change the subject. "According to the briefing, we will be lucky to see one. But they have been more active than usual. I pray Jesus gives us good footage today." Kai chuckled sardonically. "I hope your prayer is answered, Big Jay. Forgive my natural class clown cynicism. When, in the history of forever, do things work out as planned in our briefings? Especially," Kai slapped Orlando on the shoulder, "when Orlando Bard is along. Remember the clown-faced cryptid from the White Dwarf mission?" Bard threw up one large, beefy hand and laughed. "We were lucky." His expression became grim as he added, "More than that, we were blessed with protection in the midst of our great sorrow." I replied sarcastically, "Yes, I too hope that we will actually see some cryptids on this cryptid tour." There were a few laughs around the dining circle, but only a few caught the reference. Mystica only nodded her head, but smiled, still happy from winning her verbal jousting match with Sir Meanie Greeny Dunderhead. She had rented the Jurassic Park movies from Bard's library. The videos had been ordered from Earth through the star portal. Mystica had binge-watched the series more than once with a DVD player she had purchased at great price from Earth Imports in the Connors Inns and Suites shopping mall. Jay finished his meal. He then asked, "I know we are high up and far away from the cryptid crossing. That said, amigos, what happens if we are attacked by a cryptid?" Bard replied, "We will make certain his last good day was yesterday." Kai, Gordo, and Mystica kitchen patrolled their spots, then headed back to their guard posts. Dr. Kimball and Big J headed west to the camera crew post next to the fountain. Big J yelled over to Jose and gestured to Ansel, Gomez, and Jorge, who sauntered over to the dining area. Bard finally whistled for Padre to come to lunch. Padre shouted,
"A boot bloody time! I am coming, lads and lassies! Don't start without me, ye wee beasties!"
Bard whistled as Gordo neared his northeast guard post.
"Schmitty, come and get it!"
Anselm, Gomez, Jorge, Jose, and Schmitty arrived from the west and southwest area of the temple. Padre was sprinting into the circle from the southeast corner. His braided red and brown beard danced from side to side with each short, jerky footfall. Bard asked, "Anselm, will you please pray for food and protection for our team?" Jose, Gomez, and Jorge crossed themselves. Then each Latino bowed their heads, closed their eyes, and clasped their hands. The slender brown-robed priest held his hands upwards and looked into the heavens. Anselm's musical Latino audiobook narrator's professional voice echoed across the temple's mosaic floor. "Great Jesus the Christ, we thank you for our food that you have provided for our team today. We also ask you for protection. Surround us with your angels. If Bard's suspicions are correct, Lord of all, we will need your help in a most spectacular way today. To you be the glory. Gracias. Amen." "Thank you, Anselm," offered Bard as he refocused on the group, dropped his hands to his sides, and gazed into their faces.
"If Mystica and Gordo weren't so entertaining, laddie, I would have told them both to set on their bahookies and be quiet."
Maria was standing by the camp stove, twisting her lips back and forth as she stood, personal steel travel cup in hand, trying to determine whether she was going to grab a coffee or a tea.
"Padre," commanded Mar, "you are in charge of sending the group back to their posts in 25 minutes. I have just turned my Coleman stove off, so get your coffee or tea while it is hot. And shut the lid of the Mermite box, Padre, before you relieve me at your post. I will take the length of all three south guard posts as my watch."
Just then, Mystica yelled, pointer finger lancing skyward.
One, cryptids at the crossing!
Big J, codenamed Jabali, mumbled, screamed a jumbled lingo of excited, high-pitched Spanish squeals as he adjusted the focus on the camera. Bard ran toward the west camera area after one quick scan to the south. "How many, Mystica?" yelled Orlando Bard.
Basically, I don't know," exclaimed Mystica. "But, they all have dog collars. One, both the jackal heads and the squatchies."
Big J backed away from the camera. He screamed Spanish imprecations and pummeled the air like a shadow boxer, displaying his stout, tattoo-plastered arms. Then Jabali shouted, but in his deep voice,
"Uli Cristo!"
The big Latino camera crew leader's voice notched up an octave.
"Un numero grande!"
Big J leaned down and shoved his large round face closer into the crowd-top monitor and squinted.
"How can you see those collars, elf girl? I can barely make them out, amigo."
Big J turned his attention to Daphne.
"The resolution is great, but I am having a hard time, amigos, making out the collars."
"Good news, Dr. Kimball. Playback shows no blurry creatures issues. Your camera is working great. The footage will make a great podcast."
"The cryptid psionic camera fuzziness ability is being countered, Doctor, just like you promised."
Daphne Kimball smiled and nodded and began swiftly typing notes into her flat glass transparent platinum computer.
Mystica replied to Hobbley's question.
Big J, basically, I have elf eyes. I can see far, and in the dark, too."
Bard ran up to Mystica. His augmented eyes were keener than any other member of their mission team. Only Mystica's vision was superior.
"If you can't count their number," asked Bard, "can you tell me more about the dog collars?"
Mystica paused and said, one, basically, they are metal and leather. Advanced technology, though, they have flashing green lights, I think."
Bard sighed. "Oh, great. Just great. I hope the purpose of the collars is not to make them invisible at will or immune to our copper alloy cryptid busters."
Kai yelled, "How many, Bard? And do they see us?"
"They are looking right at us, Ranger Kai. Both the jackal heads and the rogue Sasquatches. And they are running pell-mell in this direction.
How many, you ask?"
"Multiple hundreds."
Big J screeched.
"They can't climb up here, right, amigo?"
"The stairway up the mountain is all in a jumbled heap
at the bottom of the hill."
"Chances are better than fair to Midland, Big J," answered Bard. "Point is, they won't need stairs like we would. I don't think we could climb up from the bottom safely. But from what I know of cryptids, most of them will pass the challenge. I have seen a Sasquatch run up the sides of a steep mountain, rarely even using its hands, quick as a bug on a wall. Their abilities are far superior to most humans and humanoids, and they have supernatural abilities as well as enhanced mental and physical ones. I think the human record for sprinting 1 mile is just under 4 minutes. An elf ranger named Hornbow, technically not a human, but he broke the 4-minute record not long after I started working with Zale's ranger teams. Supposedly, the Carnival World postal runners, with their advanced technology bracers of blinding speed, have been clocked doing 30-second miles in an emergency, and they have outrun Sasquatch and Wolfmen. I call the Wolfmen, by a different term, jackalheads. I have heard that the Sasquatch and Wolfmen can do 5-minute miles. Don't insult my intelligence. When they are going that fast, for them, it is not a sprint, just an efficient run speed.
Whatever is necessary to get the job done. Here, for example, can run a mile in 1 to 2 minutes. The speed a cryptid needs is whatever is necessary to catch a deer or buffalo, for example. And for them, that isn't breaking any records.
Point is, Big J, once they get past the broken marble stair steps, they will just start crawling and leaping on all fours. They won't break any records, but they will be here, at the foot of the butte, in about 5 to 10 minutes. I don't expect it will take much longer than that for them to get to us. Over half the butte bottom is a steep slant. Only the last 90 feet or so is straight, hard, rough rock.
"Multiple hundreds," yelled Ranger Kai. "We won't have enough ammo." I have only about 200 rounds of the copper alloy cryptid busters. He yelled, Schmitty, how many copper alloy rounds do you have? Ranger Maria Orsic Schmidt replied in her Daisy Chain cussing style, blankety blank 750 standard rounds, plus another blankety blank 150 copper rounds.
That was my estimate, exclaimed Bard. He added, there is no way we could have expected this many. If they attack, don't shoot until they're in range. Schmitty will get first crack, bows and crossbows next, Ranger Kai last. Once they get close enough for most of us, it is just a couple of Superman leaps, and they are up here with us, drooling and growling in our faces. Schmitty let go with another expletive pie outburst. Mystica snarled, I dreamed once, that I had a fight with the devil himself. Basically, I kicked his red-hot paducah. Bring it on, Wolfies and Squatchies. Padre snorted,
Arg, you are out of your mind, lassie. Nay, don't say Nicky Ben's name out loud. That's worse than going out he who shall not be spoken of.
Mystica wrinkled her nose at the wee, almost middle-aged dwarf, but just ignored him. Bard continued, No one else has guns or bows. The camera crew had to surrender their pistols at the Earth Star portal. We are really going to miss the other Rangers' 50 cals. The only way to take out one of these cryptids and stop their supercharged regeneration ability with standard ammo is to concentrate the big firepower of several Rangers and quickly decapitate the monster. That's how we take out the clown-faced giant with the weird eyes and toxic blood. Anselm offered in his musical Latino voice.
After hearing the She-Elf boast, Jude 1-9 comes to mind. He shook his head and muttered, Loco, plum loco. Padre snorted, then nodded his head in agreement with Brother Anselm.
Bard continued, Padre does, I think, have about a dozen sky blue cryptid stun potions in his potion case. Maybe you could grab a few vials, Anselm.
Thanks for the offer, Orlando Bard, replied Anselm grimly. I will be too busy praying.
Bard sighed, then continued with his tactical suggestions. Do your best, guys and gals, to make every shot count. Only the coppers can kill them and stop their regeneration. The standard slugs and bullets will just slow them down.
If you are lucky, kitties and doggies,
a standard arrow or bullet to the head and maybe to the heart or lungs can drop them. They will wake up at the bottom of the butte, and possibly they will take a few cryptids with them on their way back down. Within 10 to 15 minutes, the standard bullet or arrow kills will be stirring like angry zombies, ready to bite off the south end of a bull moose running north. It won't be a directly up and down shot until they're close. Otherwise, they will be running on an incline. And shooting at a downward angle is tricky, boys and girls, with bows or guns. You'll want to shoot lower to hit your target on the incline. More line of sight than arched with bows. We fight until we can't, kitties and doggies. My axe and Gordo's mace are orc steel, which has a meteor or metal composition, and may counteract their supercharged regenerative ability. I emphasize the word may. Atlantisian star metal will. We don't have any of those Atlantisian star metal weapons with us. They are rare.
This isn't my first rodeo, Orlando, replied Kai grimly.
Sights, sounds, and smells became stronger, and time slowed to a crawl for Bard. His senses rocketed into overdrive. He smelled Big J instantly sweat through his clothes. Gomez began to grind his teeth with a chatter as irritating as a banshee's wail. Kai's leather shotgun belt whisked across the fabric of his uniform and vest as he unslung the big shotgun from his back. Seconds later, Bard heard the clunky metallic clatter as Kai picked up his military ammo case of copper alloy shotgun slugs. He listened, feeling as if he was only a ghost, miles away from the action at the soft, funky swoosh of Gordo's helmet falling into place. Then he listened to the loud clomping of the big half-orc's thick leather boots as they slammed the mosaic temple tiles when he sprinted to the opposite side of the western rim from Ranger Kai.
Bard continued to listen as the big half-orc angled off to stand south of the camera crew on the other side of the nymph and feathered serpent fountain, carrying his heavy crossbow. Bard heard Maria Orsic Schmidt toss out whatever hot beverage she had just started sipping. She angrily slam-snapped her empty travel cup onto her belt hook ring. The Lady Ranger cussed like a drunken sailor and sprinted to her guard position. Ranger Schmidt grabbed her bolt-action M24 sniper rifle and her metal military ammo case, then double-timed it to the northwest position near Mystica Norn. Bard did a cursory check of the team as they scurried into position at the western end of the temple, on either side of the camera crew. Last he watched and listened as the female ranger, cursing all the while, belly-flopped onto the ground at the edge of the northwest rim. Orlando Bard watched as Maria Orsic Schmidt dropped to a prone position at the very edge of the temple, knee and elbow pads clinging to the mosaic floor tiles, and flipped open her rifle's bipods. Schmitty quickly and calmly exchanged her standard rifle bullets for solid copper alloy shells. The bullets were especially designed and crafted in the Carnival World underground base to simulate a .308 Winchester cartridge. Bard's augmented half-elf ears listened to the changes in everyone's breathing and heartbeats as they waited anxiously for the milling monsters to climb the long, steep hill and swarm them. Big J was still manning the video camera, but his three assistants were running for the east end of the temple. Although Gomez stopped momentarily, adjusted his sling strap, and began snapping still photos of the defenders, his hybrid camera could take standard analog photos or use digital technology to film action sequences. Bard barked, "Get back with your camera crew, Big J. You're the captain of your crew, not the captain of this ship, the mission. If you go down, Big J, go down with your crew, not the camera. No way you can defend it anyway, but the auto-record feature do its work. Maybe Zales will find it when he comes hightailing it with the skipjack to chew out Kai for being late on his mandatory cell phone sit rep. If we aren't here, maybe the video will document our eulogies."